What do you favour, Tom? The solution of our economy? A stick or a carrot?
I'm all in favour of carrots. I love carrots.
Yeah, I'm a carrot eater myself, eh?
Mark, hi. Good morning. How are you?
Well, this year isn't starting with a murmur. It's everything. I mean, it's only the third week in January.
Right.
And we've got, a truce in Gaza, a president inauguration, the ANC statement, the matric results. It's too much to bear, okay? Particularly during the month when you're trying to scrape a few shekels together to put food on the table before your credit card explodes.
Yeah, it's being said.
There's lots to talk about, Tim. Good morning.
Listen, so let's start with a prediction.
Yes.
Okay, this is an easy one. Is the second Trump presidency going to be successful or unsuccessful?
That beggars a definition. Yeah. Let me say this. Okay. It's not going to be a quiet drink. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, he's had the pre-launch launch and the pre-launch launch. And amazingly, I admit this morning that his wife, Melania, has now launched her own meme coin. Dollar. Yes. And they are doing things which it's
completely,
clear, out of the ordinary. Elon Musk was dancing on the bloody tables. And, he's got this fabulous toy. I wish I could get myself some executive orders to play with on my first day job.
Where
you could just call the Oaks in as the new CEO of whatever and make some executive orders. I could think of nothing more fun than that.
I know, exactly. And it's not like these executive orders are like a little play toys, right?
Yeah, they are, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. He's just executive ordered TikTok back into action. TikTok was closed down for exactly one day, and now it's back.
Because they closed it down, and then you were saying over breakfast to Elon, this TikTok thing, I think it's closed down. TikTok said, don't do that, man. Come on. I'll give you a shot to hull. Put it back up.
Bang. Executive order.
Let's go play golf. I'll give you a shot to hull. Okay. It's a very interesting, set of characteristics and conundrums, because whilst I have criticisms more than we've got time for Mr. Yeah. Trump, I have as many criticisms for the alternative. I'm in the let's see what happens mode.
The Economist magazines, their point of view is that Trump is now going to upend 90 years of global diplomacy.
Mm.
That basically the system that operated in the Western world or in the world for, the past generation is going to be upended. But, I don't know whether that's Trump responding or whether it's the world is just a different place. It's just a different place.
I think we could do with a little more truth and a little less diplomacy. I've always held out the notion, unpopularly, I might say,
right,
that politeness and dishonesty are often close cousins.
Yes, no, this is true.
And so, I've come across this in social circles where people speak nice all the time, but they don't think nice ever.
Yes.
And so I think maybe less diplomacy, more truth might just be, a welcome change in the way we all wonder about pretending.
Yes.
I mean, goodness knows what we're going to preach in Davos this year, which I think starts this week. But we're going there to sell 3% growth and all sorts of other things for which I'm yet to find a foundation. So, I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe a bit of straightforwardness. We'll unearth straightforward responses, and that is always a foundation for progress.
Yes. When something like Trump happens for a second time, the fact is that the previous Trump presidency, wasn't that eventful.
Yeah.
in itself. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I think people forget two things. And one is that the American economy is so enormous. It's a battleship.
Yeah.
Turning this thing around, this is not an easy thing. And the second thing is that people forget is that, the world has changed not only in ways that we know about, but in ways that we are still trying to appreciate. One of them is we don't actually know what a kind of transactional world looks like, because that's what we're going into theoretically. Anyway.
And also the economic forces that are in various different, centered in various different places, who's the bullier and who's the bullyee here, That's what who's going to prevail and what is their purpose? What is everyone's purpose? Some people are transparent in their purpose. They want to make money. Others are transparent and they want world domination, small things like that. Okay. But when you juxtaposition all of these different ideologies and the economic models that they submit to, you have to wonder which is the most virtuous, which is the most likely to be sustained. There's a lot out there, Tim. Change. We're in change mode.
I mean, one really good change has been Gaza. I don't know whether you have particular views on it or not. But...
yeah, I did. I watched it. I had to watch it. I mean, I'm confused about the exchange rate. Okay. I mean, I didn't quite get why 3 hostages equals 100 prisoners or, you know, how that all works.
Right.
But if there's a truce and if there are roads towards a truce that eventually become roads towards peace, I'm all for it.
Yeah. No, for absolutely for sure. It does sort of scream at you that this requires a bigger solution than this
one.
Having little sort of like prisoner swaps and, you know, promises that last 90 days and 3 hours and, it is just not a solution to have so many Palestinians stuck in that tiny little place.
It's not a solution. And if you saw the sort of show of force at the transporting of the 3 ex-hostages, and I think the biggest challenge is going to be to unwind the generational hate that emerges, you know, from the children of such a set of circumstances, and that's the challenge. You know, can we stop this? Can we just stop it? And can some sense prevail beyond the extreme ideologies of different people? Anyway, I find myself saddened by these things. Can we talk about something more cheerful, Tim? Because it's January, man. We've got enough troubles to deal with now. And I mean, talking about end games, I've been reflecting on the supply and demand issues in education, in particular in degrees.
Okay. Oh, I was going to raise the same thing. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I was reading that, you know, there's, first of all, the sort of demand is kind of 10 times the supply when it comes to university education, going across the different universities.
Right.
Now, I think that demand is misguided. Okay. I think the notion that it's all about the degree is a very misguided notion, particularly in a country such as ours, where we could do so much more with artisans and people building things and so on, rather than people obtaining degrees as a sort of entry into the vacant spots of the employment market, which don't exist. So we're chasing degrees for what? I mean, I've met CEOs whose purpose in life is to be the CEO, and they inevitably fail. Whereas I've met CEOs whose purpose in life is to build a company, and they turn out to be good CEOs. Are you getting my drift here?
Yeah.
I think we're chasing degrees for some wrong purpose. And, you know, the qualification, the test, the hurdle to qualify for a university entrance exam is getting lower and lower. And obviously the numbers are going up. And the number of distinctions, too. It's the last point for me.
Right.
319,000 distinctions.
There is.
Lost. Now, I admire anyone who gets distinctions. My son got a few, but that's a lot. Eh? I mean, when I went to school in Mpumalanga, if you got one distinction, you were made the mayor the very next day. If you got 2 or 3, premiership was in your sights. And, you know, if you got 6, you were on the front page of the Star for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. Are we getting it right or wrong?
No, obviously, it's very clear that in order to basically solve the problem of schools that are too full.
Yeah.
So the South African education administrators have lowered the standards at schools, obviously, apart from just lowering the pass rates. And this is now all sort of catching up with us, because the University of Johannesburg got 693,000 applications for 10,000 spaces. My alma mater, University of KZN, grand institution, as everybody knows, got 290,000 applications for 8,000 places. It's just amazing.
It's happening everywhere. I mean, I suppose if there isn't a job, we went to university, I'd like to think.
Right.
Well, it wasn't always true. We went to university to have a job, basically. But we kind of, you know, we had limited time there, and someone had to pay for it, and it was often us. And so you had to come out with something that made the net present value of the cost of going there positive. You had to have a job in mind. And so you had to come out with something that you'd learned. I don't know. Something valuable that matches the missing pieces of our economy. And I'm not sure we're getting there.
It is great that the number of universities in South Africa is increasing. And I like the fact that people want to go. This is great. You know what I mean? The South Africa has around about 10% of each year go to university and get through on the other side, right? Right. In America, it's 50%.
Yeah.
You know, that is a target we could and should be aiming for, you know, over the longer term. It's great that people go to college. You just learn so much.
And it starts with filters at the gate. I mean, you know, if you let everyone in, you know, the stats will speak to the truth. Yeah.
But still, I have to say, I mean, I do feel like I learned massively more at university about everything, you know, than I did at school. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Just the experience of, you know, sort of participating in the kind of social, intellectual craziness that was university was, you know, it was thrilling. I mean, it was just thrilling. I wouldn't deny anybody the desire.
Now you've sold it again. You're going to get more applicants next year. Everyone wants to be like you, Tim. You know that, right?
Yeah.
No, it was. I mean, I think one of the purposes of university education, beyond the obvious requirement for a particular technical or professional skill, is confidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's just knowing that you can learn.
Yes.
You know, it's just crossing the fear barrier of getting into a big fat economics textbook and getting to understand it fundamentally. And that confidence is what stands you in good stead when you face other, you know, similar challenges in the workplace. But it doesn't have to be university and it doesn't have to be a degree. It can be a TVET college. It can be experience gained in an open-minded organization that seeks to progress its people's minds. It can be lots and lots of other ways. And if it goes too far, if the pendulum swings towards a degree or no job,
right,
then the purpose of the education falls away and the degree becomes the end game.
Yes.
And then we've got it completely wrong. It'll actually be worse than negative. Anyway, on that fine note, I mean, for example, we've now got this $100 billion transformation fund, okay, where the private sector, I understand, is going to be required to make a contribution or be penalized, quote unquote. Okay. Now, you know, I find an inbuilt contradiction in the notion that you can force market forces, that you can impose regulatory requirements on the free market system. I mean, what do you favor, Tim, in the solution of our economy, a stick or a carrot?
You know, I'm all in favor of carrots. I love carrots.
Yeah, I'm a carrot eater myself, right? I've always enjoyed the odd carrot. Okay, yeah, I agree with you. And I've never liked the stick. Although when I was at school, the stick was far more.
Yes, yeah, the stick was rather present. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's strange. I mean, this idea is nuts. The idea that somehow if you take 3%, I think, is the, you know, the sort of target out of the sort of commercial economy and put it into the public sector, you know, part of the economy. So somehow that is going to solve your problem. I mean, it's just a tax. I mean, that's just an extra tax, right?
Exactly, it's a tax.
And then, you know, what happens is that, you know, the public servants get the money. That's what happens. Public servants end up winning in this kind of process. Not people out there, not the sort of entrepreneurs that are trying to start businesses and et cetera, et cetera.
But I am seeing the first sort of positive signs of outcome-based remuneration. Okay. Eskom, in an article which I didn't read completely, but the headline attracted my attention, talk about introducing now incentives for performance.
Right.
In Eskom. That was an anathema in the public sector when I was involved in, much as I tried desperately to move away from fixed remuneration towards, outcome-based remuneration. I was totally unsuccessful. But I see it starting to show its head, and it's because, but it works, Tim.
Right.
And if we can do that, because, you know, imposing these abnormal forces on a market economy repels capital.
Right.
It doesn't attract it.
Right, okay? Right.
It actually repels it. People go like, you know, the ownership of Safair, the ownership of TikTok, the ownership of, you know, the imposed self-protecting, non-market-driven regulations are capital repellents of note.
Yes, totally.
And that's what you need.
Can I change the topic again? Because I want to talk about drones.
I hope you do.
It sort of worries me. Things worry me when, you know, grand predictions are made and then nothing happens.
You must be a worried man, John. You must have a lot of worry.
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to have drone delivery by now?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't there supposed to be clouds full of drones in the sky?
Well, they can deliver bombs.
Delivering all of our stuff in milliseconds. If they can do that, surely they can deliver a six-pack of beer when you need it.
No, they can. There's no doubt they can, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so?
Apparently, this is happening in America now. Right. Now, it's becoming a real problem. There are so many drones in the sky. Drone swarms. People are worried about the drone swarms.
Yes, they probably should.
I'm actually worried about the opposite in South Africa.
You're worried about the absence of drone swarms.
There are no drones. Oh. The absence of drone swarms.
I can tell you what, it's a bit like, I don't know, there was a famous story told by someone who emigrated from South Africa to Canada and who spoke in the initial phases of their new home about the beautiful snow and how white and beautiful it was outside. And then ended up talking about the bloody sludge and the mud and we have to clear the... Don't wish upon yourself in your peaceful place the onslaught of drones, Tim. Do not wish that upon yourself. And by the way, these drones have got attached to them cameras and all sorts of other thingies that can be quite invasive in your life.
I like that. I think that's excellent. I want more invasion on the, you know what I mean? I think, you know, basically crime is a function of your belief that you will get away with it.
Yes, I get that, yeah.
And apparently it stays with you. People who are thieves when they are kids, you know, it carries on right through their lives. So everything depends on, you know, do you believe you
I once stole some sweets from a cafe. Am I dude?
It's maybe.
My only problem was I stole too many and they kept falling out of my school blazer as I was running down the road. So, yeah.
Anyway, okay. Ooh,
okay.
Ooh, little admission there, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that, you know, a country like South Africa, we should be sacrificing some of our precious personal space for more monitoring, and it would ultimately help all of us. So, you know, if there's a couple of drones flying around in the air monitoring stuff, you know, I'm happy with it. So long as they don't come into my bedroom and...
we've got too much information going around on this podcast today. You know, I've admitted to my childhood thievery, and you want a drone not to come into your bedroom for reasons that you won't explore. Okay,
for reasons that I'm not going to talk about.
I agree with the principle that technology seems to have lost its way in its applications. What I think you might be saying, and what I'd endorse, is that there is so much more virtue that could be gained out of technological advances than the uses to which they are currently being put, like war and, you know, invasive extraction of value from individuals. And I have you watched that movie? What's it called? Social Dilemma, that documentary on how they're watching us and they know what we're doing and they guide us subliminally into places that they want us to look and see and stuff. So I'm a little bit scared of technological invasion that I don't understand. Right. But there's a balance always with these things. Yeah. I wait to hear when the first drones come, because they're noisy little buggers. I don't know if you've ever had one come into your airspace. You think it's a mud of a mosquito, but it's a drone coming to
Well, so long as they bring the beer, I'm fine.
yeah, that's true. And I don't know that it's worth a mention, but it's perhaps worth a moment of silence as an alternative. The Stilfontein disaster has just... It's just too terrible for analysis. And it is a complex, multifaceted thing that goes way beyond, you know, the economics of little mining things and things into a big social discussion, which I'm not qualified to debate. Yeah. But I am qualified to say this.
Yeah.
I read, I think it was even in as august a publication as The Economist, that the 55-year-old pluses, that would be us, have not stopped being naughty. Okay. That we continue to misbehave in the way that we did when we were at university and in our 30s and all of that good stuff. And that the kids are not doing that. Now, why is it? Why are these oldies continuing to party? Eh?
Because they see us when we are drunk and they think, oh my God, I don't want to be like that.
Okay. Oh, I got it. They should join in, for goodness sake, already. Is anyone not to? Yeah. Anyway, we're still partying up a storm, it seems to me. And it doesn't seem to affect our longevity.
Okay, well, good.
Garth Keith Richardson.
There he is. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay, well, it's January, and it's a full week of stuff.
Yep.
Let's enjoy it.
And it's almost the end of January, because we've almost made it to payday. Five more days to payday.
Five more days to payday.
Okay.
See you next week.
All right.
Business.